And welcome to the Brody and Chloe podcast. I'm Brody.
I'm Chloe.
And there was a fight that was just broken loose at the front of Chloe's house.
Just before we were about to record, we missed it, but...
To give you a little insight on the fight, the man walked away yelling, "I'll fucking come back when I'm sober and we'll deal with this." Is that what he said?
Yeah.
All right.
Good drama for us.
Could have been turned into a case we're talking about now.
Yeah.
You never know. But, so today we're talking about a fucking serial killer. Like, it's not no mystery.
I was gonna say, if it's a murder mystery, well, it's not, you don't have to go that far. Somebody did get killed in front of their house down the road.
Yeah, Chloe lives in a,
kind of a druggy area.
Like a rough area, yeah.
Yeah, but it's mostly druggy. But once one person left, all the druggies left. But now they're all coming back.
You don't say.
Yeah, I know. You heard.
I live in, like, not in a rich area.
No,
but you... like, if anyone hears even a bang, the cops are being called. Yeah. Like, it's... Everyone kind of owns their house. No one really rents in my area. They're all kind of rich and, you know.
Yeah, but here, it's like, I'm going to burn my own house down so I can get my own new house.
Like, as soon as the fight broke loose, Chloe was like, "Oh, it happens all the time." And I'm like sitting there with the window, like, looking out it.
Turn all the lights off, turn the TV
We legit turned off all the lights and TV so we could open the window and hear what's happening. But... anyway, today we're talking...
back to the mystery murder.
To the mystery murder. I'm not going to tell you his name till the end, because I want you to be in with the detectives.
But I
want
to know.
But people knew him as the Night Stalker.
The Night Stalker.
Where am I starting?
I don't know. You're telling the story.
So, in 1982, the Night Stalker moved from Texas to California.
Ooh, Texas.
Don't
know much about that place, but...
yeah. His crimes began way sooner than authorities first thought, because they first thought it happened when he moved to California, but anyway.
Okay, so he killed people in Texas, got it.
Yeah. Well, here's a little thing. In 2009, so it, like, I know we're in 2023, but that sounds kind of, like, recent. For
that's
a serial killer.
What was it? Like over 13 years or something now? No, it's longer. Almost 15 years, isn't it?
15 years, yeah.
It's almost 20 years. Give it 5 more years. And
people born in 2003 are 20 now, Chloe. Yeah.
No.
But in 2009, police matched his DNA to a murder of a 9-year-old girl in San Francisco.
So he kills...
but that's, like, updated.
Like, young...
well, no.
So he just kills at all ages.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least he has variety, right?
Variety, yeah. Anyway, this is his first killing that we know of. On June 28th, 4 days after my birthday, 1984, Jack Vinko visited his mother's apartment in Los Angeles in the Glasso Park neighborhood. We're not from Los Angeles. We're fucking Australian. We don't know where the fuck that is. He noticed a window screen missing, the front door unlocked, and his mother's belongings scattered around the home. So this mother's son went to visit her and...
yeah.
Anyway.
And saw the worst.
Yeah. Then he found his 79-year-old mother's body. He doesn't just kill little girls, like I said.
He goes for all ages.
All ages, all varieties. Kind of like James Charles, you know?
Oh, no! You did him dirty!
Well, the mother, Jenny Vinkow, her throat had been slashed and she'd been stabbed repeatedly. He ran to the building manager to call the police. Because during this time, no one has a fucking cell phone.
Yeah.
Know, just landmine, like...
yeah.
Is it,
like,
called landmine?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm too
remember.
Young for this shit.
I can't remember. I haven't used one of them for quite a while.
Yeah. Well, nearly 8 months passed after the Jenny Vinkow murder before The Night Stalker would claim another victim. The Night Stalker would strike during a delicate time for Los Angeles. It was hosting the 1984 Summer Olympics.
Ooh, so he could have been killing people from other countries.
Yeah. Well, the timing for the Night Stalker's reign of terror couldn't have been worse. Los Angeles was already reeling from its run-in with another serial killer just 8 years earlier, from 1977 to 1978. So 8 years. They literally said it. It says it. 8 years. Two cousins who together became known as the Hillside Strangler. Have you heard of them?
I have heard of them.
They killed at least 10 women and dumped their bodies on a local hillside. We might talk about that story at a later date. Anyway, it was Sheriff Detective Frank Salerno, I don't know how to fucking talk today, who led the investigation of the Hillside Strangler. He made a name for himself as a talented homicide detective. You know, like, when, like, a detective will crack a massive case and all of a sudden they're like these fucking smart,
yeah,
well, they are, they're smart, basically, they're like the celebrities of,
yeah, oh, crime. You did a cold case, you're gonna be on the next case and trying to figure out that one.
Yeah, you're gonna be a case that's been cold for like 100 years, you know.
Yeah,
and still we have no DNA it. Nothing, just, you know, yeah, you know. After 5 months of poring through evidence, police arrested cousins Angelo, Buno and Kenneth. You know, we don't really need to talk about that. But by March 1985, the Night Stalker had escalated his violence. Within a 10-day pyramid, there had been 5 more attacks.
Holy shit, man. This dude does not wait. He wants to kill straight away. But the thing about it, right,
mm-hmm,
is if the cops know they got a strike in 10 days, what are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't they more cops on the 10th day?
Yeah.
That's the one thing I don't get.
Anyway, I'm not leaving this in, but I'm looking for some of the killings.
I don't want the cat to
lay on
my bed, on my clothes, I mean.
Anyway, so on March 17th, 1985, the Night Stalker attacked 22-year-old Maria Hernandez outside her home in Rosemead, California, shooting her in the face with a .22 caliber handgun.
So he likes to use almost every weapon he can get his hand on, a gun, knife, what's next?
Yeah. So what happened was, when she pulled into her garage, right? And what he did was he had a thing where he liked to see the victims scared before he killed them. Like, it was kind of like a kink that he had.
Then he shouldn't come after me.
You wanted to die.
I'd probably embrace it. I have my hands wide open for him.
Well, what happened was when she got out of the car and started walking in, he hit the top of her car to make her look around and be like, what the fuck? And when she looked around, she obviously saw this man standing in her garage. He pointed the gun at her. She held up her face like this to cover up, like, no, like shit like that. He shot and she fell to the ground.
So she died instantly? Or no?
What happened was when she held up her keys, the key deflected the bullet.
It did?
But she was playing dead.
Ooh, smart woman. But at the same time, if it was me, I would have got up and said, I'm still alive, love.
Wait. So what happened was, when she, you know, played dead, the Night Stalker walked inside their home And he knew that she had a roommate.
Ooh, and they were roommates.
And they were roommates. But Dale Yoshi Okazaki.
I don't know.
She's 34, so there's like 12 years difference between her and her roommate. She heard the gunshot and hid behind the kitchen counter. And when she saw the Night Stalker enter the kitchen, she raised her head, like, above the counter to look what happened.
Oh, what a fucking idiot. I'm sorry. If you heard a gunshot... No.
He shot it right then and there, and she died. Within an hour...
I'm sorry, but she can't... Oh, that kind of something you do in the movies.
Oh, but want to hear what happened? The woman who was playing dead, she walked inside, and she looked at him, and she said, "You've already tried to kill me once." And he walked out and just left her.
Are you serious?
He just left her. She said, "You already tried to kill me once." Bad bitch movie, if you ask me. I would have laid there. I would have gotten red paint to make it look more real, you know?
So one of their roommates were kind of a bad bitch, while the other one was kind of dumb. Like, if you heard a gunshot that was really close... I'm locking myself
in the bathroom, like...
Why the fuck would you hide behind an open area and peek?
Mm-hmm.
You had just heard a gunshot.
Yeah, well, within an hour of this killing, the Night Stalker pulled 30-year-old Cy Lian Yu out of her car in Monterey Park, shot her twice. He was making sure this time, okay? With a .22 caliber handgun and fled. She was pronounced dead upon arrival at the hospital. So the thing about this killing, right, was she was found dead, like, laying on the ground.
Yeah.
But what they figured out is that he would have pulled her out of the car first because he wanted to see her scared and then shot her. Because if he was looking to kill someone to get their car, you'd think he would have just walked up and went boom, boom, you know?
If I'm still in a car and I'm going to kill them, I wouldn't want blood in the car. I'm going to...
Oh, you
want to
have a clean...
I'm going to steal it. I'm sorry.
Anyway, she was pronounced dead at the hospital upon arrival. The two murders and an attempted third in a single day attracted coverage from the media, like it would, who described the attacker as a curly head with bulging eyes and wide spaced eyes.
And rotting
teeth. No.
What a fucking idiot.
Yeah, he had rotting teeth, apparently. This was the main thing that people, like, kind of spoke about him.
But they could have been fake.
They said that wherever he went, the stench came off him from his mouth.
So
he had rotting teeth, like, here, I'll pull... No, actually, I can't yet. I'll wait till later. But on March 29th, 1985, the Night Stalker entered a home that he had burglarized a year earlier at approximately 2 a.m. and killed the sleeping Vincent Charles Zazara, age 64. So this is a guy.
Okay, at least... He's not just focusing on one gender.
Yeah.
Next, I hope he focuses on a microwave.
Well, who knows. But, with a gunshot to his head from a .22 caliber handgun. Okay,
so now he's into guns.
Yeah, but, like, he's killing all these people with the same gun, right? The .22 caliber. But it's the most famous gun in history.
Yeah, so basically cops can't just go to a store and go... Give me all the records of people buying things.
Yeah. Okay. Then Zazara's wife, the guy that he just killed, his wife, age 44, was awakened by the gunshot, obviously. And the Night Stalker beat her and bound her wrists while demanding to know where her valuables were while he ransacked the room. Maxine escaped her bonds and retrieved a shotgun from under her bed, which she was unaware was not loaded.
No.
So she's holding this shotgun up to him.
But at least...
Shoots it, and it's got... It's not loaded.
She should have... Even if you didn't know if it's loaded or not, you should have... Instead of shooting it straight away, I say threaten them first. And if they don't back up, then try and shoot it. And if nothing happens, jump the fuck out of the
window. Well, in that last hope of, like, wanting to live, I would have just went.
Also, the thing to think about it is, if you are in that position, you don't get time to think.
Mm-hmm. Well, just imagine, if that shotgun was loaded, more than half the murders would have never happened.
No, he would have been dead, because would have been shotgun, like, basically straight to the face.
The Night Stalker would have never happened, like, because he was known as the Night Stalker way after all this happened. But anyway, he got really frustrated by this, right? And he shot her 3 times. And then he got a large carving knife from the kitchen, and he mutilated her body by cutting an inverted cross across her chest, then removed her eyes with the knife and placed them in a jewelry box.
Wow.
He attempted to have sex with her body, but found himself so shaken by her attempting to shoot him that he was unable to activate an erection.
He could have just went to the guy.
Not by an... Oh, what? Not by...
The guy couldn't try and kill him. He should have just went to the guy.
Not by this woman having 3 gunshots in her head. Like a fucking upside-down cross and no eyes.
Everywhere, no eyes.
He couldn't have an erection by that. He was just too shaken up by her trying to kill him.
You know, I would love to see his face, because he's trying to scare the other victims. I would love to see his face while that gunshot was pointed at him.
Mm-hmm. So he took the jewelry box with her eyes in it when he left and kept it at his apartment as a souvenir.
So she can watch him at all times. Good choice, dude.
Well, Vincent and Maxine's bodies were discovered by their son, again, Peter.
I feel real sorry for, if you find your own parents or the person you love the most in the world, finding their body. It's hard.
It is. Well, the Night Stalker left footprints from a pair of Avia sneakers in the flower beds, which police photographed and cast. This was virtually the only evidence that the police had at the time. Bullets found at the scene were matched at those found at previous attacks, and the police determined that a serial killer was at large. Could you imagine living this day and age, watching the news, and they're like, there's a serial killer on the loose in your area?
Mine would be, I wouldn't care.
Sometimes your nieces and nephews stay
there.
That's
the one thing I was going to say. I said, I wouldn't care, but the only reason why I would care is the fact for the people who I care about the most.
Yeah.
I don't mind going through that, but I don't want my family to go through it.
Yeah. Well, on May 14th, 1985... the Night Stalker returned to Monterey Park, where he, you know, grabbed the girl out of the car. Boom, yes. Boom.
Mm-hmm.
Entered the home of Bill Doy, age 66. So at this time, he's kind of going for the older people, you know.
Yeah, the people who have actually lived their lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, age 66 and his disabled wife, Lillian Doy, age 56. Surprising Doy in his bedroom, the Night Stalker shot him in the face with a .22 semi-automatic pistol as Doy went for his own handgun after beating the mortally wounded man into unconsciousness. The Night Stalker entered Lillian's bedroom, bound her with thumb cuffs. Do you know what thumb cuffs are? The ones that go on the thumbs and they'll like pretty much chop your thumbs off. So he likes torturing kind of shit.
Yeah.
You know.
So I could see where he's coming from, because like you said before, he likes them to be scared before he kills them. So it kind of makes sense of, if you tie him up, they're going to be even more scared.
Yeah.
But at the age of 60, you've lived a good life. Like, I know there's more couple years left for them to have another good life, but it's all right for them.
Yeah. Well, after he bound her and put the thumb cuffs on her, he raped her. after he ransacked the home for valuables.
How old was she?
56.
He's into old
he
women.
Was young too. He was in his early 20s.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure. Anyway, the older guy survived but died in hospital from his injuries.
Yeah. That's another sad thing, is watching your own wife get raped and murdered, and there's nothing you can do.
Well, the wife lived. He let the wife go.
She lived?
Yeah. He let the wife go.
Well, at least she had a good life.
Yeah. Well, on the night, May 1985, so this was legit, like, 15 days after this happened.
So he's putting it longer now.
Yeah. Well, on the night of May 29th, 1985, Ramirez drove a stolen car to Monrovia and stopped at the house of Mabel Bell, age 83.
Okay, that one, that age, I'm sorry. Like, I feel sad to you, but that's an actual good age.
To die? What the fuck?
80? What was it, 83?
83. And her disabled sister, Florence Lang, who was 81.
I'm sorry, they've only got what?
10 years left in them, max?
Yeah, 10 years. Or maybe less. It depends on their health. I feel like I'm a bad person now. Oh, no.
Well, finding a hammer in the kitchen, he bludgeoned and bound Lang in her bedroom. So Lang is the disabled one, 81.
Why do they have a hammer in the kitchen? Is it one of those hammers that you use to beat the meat?
Maybe. I don't know.
Because that one would probably make more sense.
Well, after he did this, he got an electrical cord and shocked her with it. So he likes torturing them, you know.
Yeah.
After raping her, he used her lipstick to draw the satanic pentagram symbol on her thigh as well on the walls of both bedrooms. The women were found 2 days later, alive but comatose and critically injured. Bell later died of her injuries in hospital.
Yeah. I would have thought she would have died from her injuries just for the fact the age alone and the injuries would pretty much be equal.
Yeah, like, you'll notice with most cases, serial killers are going after the people who are living alone and don't have many family members. You know, they're old or young or, like, they're just...
Nowadays, people don't want kids, so they're perfect.
Don't talk. Just stop talking. Anyway.
Oh, man, a serial killer's going to be listening to this.
You are the serial killer. Anyway, the next day, the Night Stalker drove the same car to Burbank and sneaked into the home of Carol Kyle, aged 42. At gunpoint, he bound Kyle and her 11-year-old son with handcuffs.
Oh,
then ransacked the house. He released Kyle to direct him to where the family's valuables were. He then raped her repeatedly. Ramirez also repeatedly ordered her not to look at him. Telling her at one point that he would cut out her eyes.
Well, he's already done it, so...
He fled the scene after retrieving the child from the closet and binding the two together with the handcuffs.
I'll tell you the truth, I feel like he's more kinky than torturous, because he's, like, tying people up, fucking them, and then leaving them.
Pretty much. Well, on the night of July 2nd, 1985, so... This is like, legit 5 days after the last one happened, I think. This is a month.
A month, okay. So
he waited a hot second, you know, for him.
He just needed to calm down a bit. Gunshot to him kind of shook him.
That was like 2 months ago, dude.
Yeah, but ever since then, he's put not regular, like every 10 days. Ever since then... It's been different, like, it's been 15, now it's a month. What's next, 2 months?
Well, on the night of July 2nd, 1985, he drove a stolen car to Arcadia and randomly selected the house of Mary Louise Cannon, aged 75, a widowed grandmother. So
I can see now that he's kind of more into older women and older men. Like, yeah, he did go for young and all that, but...
He tried to kill that 22-year-old girl, and yeah, the keys saved her.
Yeah, but I think ever since then, after she was saved, he's just been gone after.
Oh, girl, just wait.
There's more young people?
Yeah, anyway, this widowed grandmother, so her husband died, whatever. After quietly entering her home, he found her asleep in her bed. He bludgeoned her into unconsciousness with a lamp and then stabbed her using a 10-inch butcher blade from her kitchen. The Night Stalker repeatedly stabbed her body after she was already dead. She was found dead at the scene.
How many stab wounds? Does it say?
It doesn't say. Oh, I don't want to know what a butcher knife is. yeah, it doesn't say. Wait for it. On July 5th, 1985, so 3 days after the grandmother, the Night Stalker broke into a home in Sierra Madre and bludgeoned 16-year-old Whitney Bonet.
Okay.
With a tire iron as she slept in her bedroom. So he's kind of finding all these things in their houses. Like, he's never prepared for it. He just goes, yeah, I feel like killing them.
And also, it looks like he's not trying to see the fear in their eyes no more. He's asleep now. Let's just knock them out and kill them while they're asleep.
Yeah, anyway. After searching in vain for a knife in the kitchen, the Night Stalker tried to strangle the girl with a telephone cord. He stated that he was startled to see electrical sparks emanate from the cord, and when his victim began to breathe, he fled the house believing that Jesus Christ had intervened and saved her.
So he's very empty.
Wait for this. Bonet survived the savage beating and attempted strangulation, although 478 stitches were required to close the lacerations to her scalp. 478.
Holy shit.
Let that sink in.
I've only ever had 7 stitches.
478. Her whole fucking head would have been covered in stitches, dude.
Yeah, that... How would you even have skin of how many stitches? You're like, you would not have much skin left, would you?
So, like, so far, what, 2 people have gotten away? No, 3.
3, I think.
4. The mother and son both got away.
Ah, yeah.
Then the woman in thumb cuffs.
Keys.
Keys, and now her.
Yeah.
The 16-year-old
girl. So maybe that's why the girl with the keys, he let her live, because he thought God saved her.
Maybe. And he don't like no God.
No, he likes someone
he's
else.
He's a Satanist. On July 7th, 1985, so 2 days after, so he's starting to get, like, cocky again. The Night Stalker burglarized the home of Joyce Lucille Nelson, age 60, in Monterey Park. Finding her asleep on her living room couch. He beat her to death by stomping on her head repeatedly.
Okay, this time he wanted to do it himself.
Didn't find nothing in the home that could satisfy him.
Yeah, he couldn't find that glow of an object. Like you'd find in video games.
Yeah.
He couldn't find that.
Yeah, well, a shoe print from the Avia sneaker, you know, that we spoke about before, was left imprinted on her face.
Wow.
So, after cruising 2 other neighborhoods, he returned back to Monterey Park and he shows the home of Sophie Dickman.
He really likes that park.
Age 63. The Night Stalker assaulted and handcuffs Sophie at gunpoint, attempted to rape her and stole her jewelry. When she swore to him that she had taken everything from value, he told her, "Swear on Satan."
Wow.
You know how people go, swear on the Bible, yeah. swear on God, swear on Satan.
And you know what I would have did? I would have done the opposite.
I swear on God.
Just to piss him off.
I swear on my mama.
Just to piss him off, I would have turned around and said, fuck you, I swear on God.
Mm.
And then I probably would have been dead.
Well... Whoa, okay.
Whoa.
On July 20th, so this is 13 days after.
So he's randomizing the kills now.
He's been randomizing the whole time. He's been driving past and going, I'm going to kill them.
But he's been on it for 10 days, then it got spooked, then he changed it up.
Yeah, let me just put my phone on charge.
And now he's like, I don't care.
Yeah. But, after... on July 20th, the Night Stalker purchased a machete. So this is finally, he has a weapon before he goes in, you know?
Finally, he's repairing. He found the glow.
He found the glow. The pregnancy glow. With Satan's baby.
Oh.
Before driving,
what?
Nothing, pressed on something. He shows the home of Layla Needing, age 66, and her husband Maxon Needing, age 68. He bursts into the sleeping couple's room and hacked them with the machete, then killed them with shots to the head from a .22 caliber handgun.
Yeah, I knew the gun would come back.
He further mutilated their bodies with the machete before robbing the house. After quickly fencing the stolen items from the residence, he drove to Sand Valley, Los Angeles.
Wow.
At approximately 4:15 a.m., he broke into the home of Covenath family. He shot the sleeping 32-year-old, Shina Rong Covenath, I'm sorry, I'm not good with names, in the head with a 25-caliber handgun. Switching it up.
Yeah. But he can't let go of the gun.
It's his signature weapon.
A lot of people's, actually.
Killing him instantly, then repeatedly raped and beat the 32-year-old some kid, Covenath. He bound the couple's 8-year-old son before dragging some kid around the house to reveal the location of any valuables, which he stole. During his assault, he demanded that she swear on Satan that she was not hiding any money from him.
Oh, wow. They can try and rob me. I don't have anything value. The only thing that I value...
is your alcohol.
Yeah, and my video games.
Mm.
Like, that's all you can get from me. Nothing more. You could probably take the 52 cents in my bank. that might get you something.
Yeah, so he let the son and mother go.
Again.
But killed the husband.
Yeah, he wants to be the only man in that relationship.
On August 6th, 1985, not 13 days, probably like 20 days-ish, the Night Stalker drove to Northridge and broke into the home of 30-year-old Chris Peterson and Virginia Peterson, age 27. He crept into the bedroom, settled Virginia, and shot her in the face with a 25-caliber semi-automatic handgun. He then shot Chris in the neck and attempted to flee. Chris fought back while avoiding being hit by two more shots during the struggle escape, and the Night Stalker managed to escape. And the couple survived the injuries. And this got the Night Stalker pissed, right? Because he has this thing where, like, he likes seeing them scared. And when he's shooting the wife in the face, she's screaming back at him. The husband gets shot in the neck and he's running after the Night Stalker. He's fucking chasing him out of the house while blood's coming from his neck.
That's something I would do. I would probably do the exact same thing. God. You're fucking finishing the job. You don't walk out on me.
Yeah, well, this really, like, startled him because he was like, what the fuck?
This How? Is the first time that somebody's not scared.
Yeah, this is, like, the first time he's had someone chase him out of the house while, being shot in the neck.
Let me guess, he wants to go take their eyes too?
Guess so. Well, on August 8th, so 2 days after.
Yeah, he wants to make a re...
Yeah. The Night Stalker drove a stolen car to Diamond Bar, California, and shows the home of Sakina Abowith, and aged 27, and her husband, Elias Abowith.
So you kind of have the 31. Thing for older people, but most of the time, they all have to be in a relationship. He has to have two...
But 27 isn't old.
No, like, he has...
Girl,
like
you're 27.
Like, he has seven... Like,
this well, 16. In that case, then, it is old, because you're that. Fucking old.
But I'm talking about, it's the fact that he went for, like, people who are 60, but they, every kill, basically, he had to have another person there.
Mm.
It's always been double. But even if one dies, well, the other one lives.
That kind of links back to the kink with liking to see them scared.
Yeah.
Because, like...
Because
if your mum got shot in front of you, you would have been like, what the fuck is going on? It's legit.
Reason why he wants to go after two people is he wants to see that look of the person that they love.
Like, oh, fuck, this isn't a burglary. That it's a murderer. Like,
yeah, and he just killed my wife. Or he killed my husband. Yeah.
Well, with this couple, sometime after 2:30 a.m., he entered the house and went into the master bedroom. He instantly killed the sleeping husband... Which, I'm noticing he's killing the men first.
Yeah, of course, because he legit just got chased out of the house.
Mm-hmm. Well, after he shot the husband in the face, he handcuffed and beat the wife while forcing her to reveal the locations of the family's jewelry. He then brutally raped her. He repeatedly demanded that she swears on Satan that she would not scream during the assaults.
Oh.
When the couple's 3-year-old son entered the bedroom, the Night Stalker tied the child up and then continued to rape the wife in front of the son.
Wow.
After the Night Stalker left the home, the wife untied her son and sent him to the neighbors for help.
Wow.
3 years old. He had to watch his mum being raped.
And the sad thing about it is, at 3 years old, you don't know what the fuck they were going on about.
Mind you, the son would have walked in and seen his dad dead.
Yeah.
And his mum being brutally raped right next to the dead body. But
also another thing is, at 3 years old, you don't know what death is. And you don't know what rape is. And
but you know what's going on is fucked. And it's going to traumatise you for the rest of your life.
The mother could have been crying.
Oh, she definitely was. Like, there's no doubt about it.
And then that child would be crying because he's tied up. And he would probably be yelling out for mommy and all that shit. Yeah. I'm sorry, but that's where I cross the line. Kids have no part in it.
Yeah. Well, the Night Stalker, who'd been following the media coverage of his crimes, left Los Angeles and headed to San Francisco. On August 18th, so... 10 days after, he entered the home of Peter Pan, 66, and Barbara Pan, age 62. So, this couple were, like, Asian, so these are, like, their English names.
Okay.
Yeah.
They really like Peter Pan, then.
Well, he shot the sleeping Peter in the temple with a 25-caliber handgun, which killed him instantly.
He really does like... shooting in the head or hitting them in the head. Mm-hmm. He just loves the head.
Yeah, well, so he then beat and sexually assaulted the wife before shooting her in the head and leaving her for dead. At the crime scene...
This time he killed both.
At the crime scene, the Night Stalker used lipstick to scrawl a pentagram and phrase Jack the Knife on the bedroom wall. The Night Stalker again left a shoe print at the scene that the detectives... discovered and matched to a specific pair of Aveo shoes that was not common at the time. Lead detectives Frank Salerno and Jill Carollo contacted the manufacturer of Aveo shoes and were able to retrieve the soles. Upon the discovery, the make and distribution across the United States, only 6 of them existed in men's size.
Ooh.
Size 11 and a half.
If that's so rare, why the fuck are you wearing?
Wait for it. With five of them being shipped to Arizona and only one in Los Angeles.
Please tell me he got fucked caught by his shoes, because that would be a funny ending.
Well,
please tell me he got. Please tell me his shoes.
You're gonna have to wait.
I want to know if his shoes got him fucked.
Yeah, well, it was only one of a kind, and that it belonged to the Night Stalker. When it was discovered that the ballistics and shoe print evidence from the Los Angeles crime scenes matched the Pan crime scene, San Francisco. Oh. Are you ready? This is going to fucking piss you off because it pissed me off, okay? So what happened was they went to the, you know, like the shop that the shoe was bought off.
Yeah.
The manager was like, yeah, it was bought in cash. So there was no credit card history, yeah, anything.
But does they have the type? Or no?
It had nothing. But anyway, so after this happened, they went to the mayor of San Francisco. And was like, look, serial killer was in Los Angeles. Now he's in your town. Like, you might want to let your people know. This is what we know. You cannot tell anyone about the shoe, the gun, any evidence.
Yes, you fucking tell the world.
Any evidence at all. Because this is our leading thing. If the killer knows about the shoe, they're going to fucking throw it out. Okay?
Of course.
Well, so after the mayor was told all this, you know, blah, blah, blah.
The mayor was a fucking idiot.
Diane Feinstein, the mayor, she divulged the information, including the gun caliber, in a television press conference.
What a fucking idiot.
This leak, because she wanted to feel like she's this hero that's getting evidence and is letting the public know, tell us about an AVSU person, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, this leak frustrated the detectives as they knew the killer would be following media coverage, which gave him the opportunity to destroy crucial evidence. The Night Stalker, who had been indeed watching the press, dropped his size 11.5 shoes over the side of the Golden Gate Bridge that night.
What? That fucking... I can't. You know what? I kind of want to hit her one. I want to hit her one.
He remained...
What a fucking idiot.
I know. He remained in the area for a few more days before heading back to Los Angeles.
Well, at least they know the size of the fucking shoe he has. But what a fucking idiot of a mayor. I hope she got fired. I hope people told her to get...
The detective even said, like, what the fuck? Like, I want to arrest her for, like,
evidence. Wouldn't it be helping the killer or whatever? Oh, I can't remember the name of it.
Complying, I don't know.
I can't remember. But, oh.
But if you didn't notice of the name of one of the detectives earlier, Frank Salerno, he was the detective on the Hillside Strangler.
Oh.
So, big name, you know.
Yeah, big name.
On August 24th, the Night Stalker travelled 76 miles, 122 kilometres, since we're Australian, south of Los Angeles in a stolen orange Toyota. That night, he arrived at the home of 45-year-old James Romero Jr., who had just returned from a family vacation in Mexico. Romero's son, 13-year-old James Romero III, happened to be awake while his family was asleep. James went outside of his house to retrieve a pillow inside the truck, which was locked. When he was outside, he heard a rustling noise. Assuming it was an animal, James went to investigate the noise, but did not notice anything unordinary. James then went back into his garage to begin working on his mini bike before hearing the Night Stalker's footsteps outside the house. Thinking that was a prowler, James, after observing the Night Stalker through his bedroom window, went to wake his parents, and the Night Stalker fled the scene. James raced outside and noted the color, make, and style of the car, as well as a partial license plate number. Romero contacted the police with this information, believing James had chased away a thief.
But still, that fucking mayor, man.
She's a fucking bitch. They could have caught him a lot sooner wasn't for her.
I don't know what she was thinking, like... Oh, let me be a hero and tell the world.
All these detectives and cops told her, you cannot do this. Also, what they had, They had, what was it called?
I don't know.
They had a police sketch of Ramirez from the survivors.
Yeah.
And they said, you can't release this to the public. In this press conference, she's holding up the photo the entire time, going, he's wearing an Avia shoes, he's 5, blah, 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 like his height, weight, everything.
You know what? If I was the cop, if I'm going to tell a mayor or whatever, I'm bringing a fucking contract in.
NDA.
Just so that bitch, if she opens her mouth, that bitch is going straight to jail and living right beside him once he gets caught.
Yep. Well, after this encounter, the Night Stalker broke into the house of Bill Cairns, age 30, and his fiancée, Inez Erickson, age 29. Through a back door, the Night Stalker entered the sleeping couple's bedroom and awakened Cairns when he cocked his 25 caliber handgun.
Ooh.
He shot Cairns 3 times in the head before turning his attention to Erickson. The Night Stalker told her that he was the Night Stalker because during this time, the news were like, the Night Stalker, serial killer, he's on the loose. And forced her to swear she loved Satan as he beat her with his fists and bound her with neckties from the closet. After stealing what he could find, the Night Stalker dragged Erickson to another room before raping her. He then demanded cash and more jewelry. And made her swear on Satan that there was no more before leaving the home. But before leaving the home, the Night Stalker told Erickson, tell them the Night Stalker was here. Erickson untied herself and went to the neighbor's house for help. Surgeons removed 2 of 3 bullets from Cairns' head, and he survived his injuries.
Wow.
Yep. Erickson gave a detailed description of the assailant of the investigators, and police obtained a cast of the Night Stalker's footprint from the Romeo house. The stolen Toyota was found abandoned on August 28th in Los Angeles, and police obtained a single fingerprint from the rearview mirror despite the Night... The Night Stalker's careful efforts to wipe the car clean of prints. So during this time, right, even if they got a single print, they couldn't put in a system and find it. They needed to, like, get your fingerprint to, like, but match it up. But at least
they have a fingerprint, so if they feel like it's something...
If they find it, they can, you know, cross it off. The print was positively identified belonging to Richard Ramirez, who was described to police as a 25-year-old drifter from Texas with a long rap sheet that included many arrests for traffic and illegal drug violations. The identification of Richard Ramirez's print was described as a near miracle, as a system used to identify him was recently installed, as well as the fact that the system contained the fingerprints of criminals born after January 1st, 1960, only a month before Ramirez was born. On August 29th, 1985, law enforcement officials decided to release a mugshot of Richard Ramirez from 1984 arrest for auto theft media. At the police conference, it was announced, we know who you are now and soon everyone else will. There will be no place for you to hide.
Ooh.
So at this point...
the cops want him.
Yeah, they know who it is. They've matched the fingerprint. And the only reason why they could match it was because he has...
He has.
And you know when you go in, like, to get fucking...
Once you get arrested once.
They take all your fingerprints.
Yep.
Anyway, on August 30th, 1985, Richard Ramirez took a bus to Tucson, Arizona to visit his brother, unaware that he had become the lead story in virtually every major newspaper and television news progress.
He fucked up.
Across California. You know what I've just realized now?
Mm-hmm.
Richard Ramirez took the bus... to Arizona, he might not have even bought the pair of shoes in Los Angeles. Because 5 of the pairs of shoes were in Arizona.
Maybe. But.
You never know.
The only person who will know is him.
After failing to meet his brother due to him not being home, Richard Ramirez returned to Los Angeles early in the morning of August 35.
And he's already wanted place though.
Well, he walked past police officers who were staking out the bus terminal in hopes of catching the killer should he attempt to flee.
Don't tell me that they didn't even see him.
Well, after, you know, walking past them, he... Because they were there hoping to catch the killer, should he attempt to flee on an outbound bus, like, getting out of there. He went into the convenience store in East Los Angeles. After noticing a group of elderly Hispanic women fearfully identifying him as El Matador, Ramirez saw his face on the front page of the newspaper La Opinion, with the headline calling him Invasor Nocturno. He fled the store in panic. Because this is his first time being like, fuck, they've caught me, you know?
Yeah.
Because he's been in Arizona trying to visit his brother. He hasn't been in Los Angeles. After running across the Santa Ana Freeway, he attempted to carjack an unlocked Ford Mustang. So, at this point, he's running across the highway, trying to run away. So... Yeah, I know.
Just put your head down, dude.
Well, he attempted to carjack the unlocked Ford Mustang, but was pulled out by an angry resident, Faustino Pinon. So, he's fucking trying to carjack this person, and this angry resident came up and was like, get the fuck off, you know?
This is my wife's car.
Yeah. Well, Ramirez ran across the street and attempted to take car keys from Angelina de la Torre. The woman's husband, Manuel de la Torre, witnessed the attempt and struck Ramirez over the head with a fence post.
Oh, yes!
In pursuit, a group of over 10 residents formed and chased Richard Ramirez down the Hubbard Street in Boyle Heights.
I would have loved to be so a fly on the wall. So this group
of fucking 10 people are chasing him down the street.
I would have loved to be a fly on the wall just to look at his face.
Because honestly.
He always like, oh, I love the look on people's face when they get shit scared. He would be shitting fucking bricks.
Well, the group of citizens forced and held Richard Ramirez down and relentlessly beat him.
Oh, yes!
At around 8 a.m, police were called over a disturbance in the area and a few details of, like, a fight, you know. Police quickly arrived at the 3700 block of Hubbard and found that Richard Ramirez had been severely beaten and unarmed and took him into custody. The crowd grew to several hundred people and was becoming unruly towards Richard.
Oh my gosh, yes!
Yeah, and the responding officer, Andy Ramirez, same last name, stayed behind while Officer Jim Kaser drove Ramirez back to the police station.
Wow.
And that's when they caught Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker.
Because he decided to fuck off and be a little scared. And you just turn on the TV and there's a murder.
Oh, shit.
You just put 48 hours on. That's a sign right there.
I want to show you some videos of what this man looks like.
So you want to show me what he looks like?
What are you imagining in your head right now?
I imagine basically hillbilly.
Like hillbilly?
Like you said he has rotted teeth. So I don't think he has long hair. I think it's like medium. Medium length. I'm kind of right about the hair. If that's him.
By the way, Chloe's seeing him for the first time right now.
Oh, he has long hair in that one.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he actually has. But that second one looks like the hair that I think he had.
You know what's so fucked about this case?
What?
People really think he's like the hottest guy alive.
Really? You know who he fucking looks like?
Look at this video. This is after he got beat.
Oh my gosh, yes.
In the cop car.
You know who he looked like?
Look just at how creepy this man looks.
Oh my gosh.
But isn't that like something that could fucking haunt you in your nightmares?
that he face. Doesn't feel anything. You can see in his eyes. He doesn't feel anything. The only thing you can see in his eyes right now is the fact he's pissed that he got caught.
That little grin though as well, and like the eyes being like,
he's like, well, at least I fucking spread my message.
Swear on Satan.
Yep. But you can see in his fucking, in his eyes and all that, he's kind of pissed. He's pissed he got caught.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to kill more people. At this point, dude, you should have just made a cult.
Yeah, well, he ended up getting sentenced to death, right? And
please tell me they didn't give him last food. You know who he looks like in that picture?
Who?
No, the other one. The one you were just thinking. You know that old Barbie movie? How it's like Princess and the Pauper? I don't know. He looks like the guy with the fucking, what do you call it? The weird hair that he has. White hair. The villain in that movie.
Well, like, he legit had a whole fan base of young girls, 16 years old, trying to get with him. And while he was on death row, right? And do you know how long death row takes?
Oh, it takes.
Yeah. 20 plus years to, like, even be fucking killed.
Well, let me guess, they killed him faster because he started.
He got married.
No!
He had a prison wedding with a girl in her, like, mid-20s,
no.
I think. And her whole family cut her off.
I would have fucking done the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. I would have locked her in the same room as him.
And he didn't even get to be executed.
What the fuck?
He died of cancer.
Good.
In prison.
It's the act of God.
At, like, 60 years old, I think, or something.
Oh, it's the act of God. It took a bit, but it got there.
I don't think he was 60. I think he might have been a bit younger, but yeah. But isn't that so fucking creepy, that face?
Oh, that face there alone. There alone. He's pissed that he got caught.
And also, he had a pentagram tattooed on his hand.
Of course he did.
And see that picture right there?
Yeah.
He showed it in court like that.
Yeah, nah. He's just pissed he got caught.
He was fucked.
Yep.
But yeah, he died of cancer in prison. Got married. You know.
At least he didn't have fucking kids.
Yeah. But like, there are people in the world with parents that were killers. And yeah, they're not horrible people.
No, but come on. That, if
he doesn't deserve to have kids, if that makes sense.
No, the thing about it is, right, he got married. If that bitch had kids, so she would have said, your father was great. Your father is handsome. Yeah. Oh my God, you look like your father. No. That bitch should never be able to have kids.
Yeah. Anyway, should we close off the podcast now?
I think I'm just looking at his age and see when he fucking died. But I don't see it. It ain't coming up. I think, no. I'm seeing a lot of different, like, 83, 81.
Well,
but I think early they might 80s. Be, I think they might be the victims' ages.
Yeah. All right. Anyways, thank you all so much for watching tonight, or today, or whenever you're watching. Hope you all,
when you're going to sleep.
If you're asleep right now, good night. Don't dream of the Night Stalker, or else he'll come for you.
Well, some people do fall asleep while they're listening to
podcasts.
Yeah, and murder ones. I know I listen to. I know I fall asleep listening to true crimes.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for watching tonight.
For our first podcast.
Yeah. Hope you all have more a lovely to come. Night. Yeah, more to come. Anyway, come in next week. Bye.
Bye.